Stephanie, you can see me and hear me well, right? Tehuta as well.
Yes, all fine. You, just a moment. Yes, I can see you.
Okay.
Yes, we are good. So your laptop is working now.
No, actually, my phone
Okay.
is working, but on the top I managed to join through another link, so it will be multitasking, but it's fine.
Okay, as we usually do, women.
Well, of course. As the time is ticking, a clock is ticking, I would like to say welcome to everyone. I see that the numbers are growing and everyone is joining after the lunch. But for those who are here, I just wanted to draw your attention before we even start to activate your audio through your computer, to activate only listen only mode for this session. Please, when submitting your questions, use Q&A button because it becomes really difficult for us to follow all the questions on the chat. We encourage you to ask us as many questions as interested in. And please note that this session will be recorded. So please be aware of that side. Stephanie, can we go on the next slide? Yes. So before we also start the webinar, I would also like to draw your attention to antitrust guidelines. As we lead network, we are strictly complying with all applicable antitrust laws. As we have lots of employees from competing companies, it is extremely important for us that we ensure that we don't discuss any prohibited topics. So please take a minute to read this slide and page, and then we will go on the next introduction of who are our guests today and what are we going to talk about. Just giving you a minute of your time to read the antitrust guidelines. Okay, so I think we are ready to go, right? So for everyone here, once again, very well, warm welcome. My name is Arta, and today I will be in the role of a panelist, but also as a moderator of this webinar. I'm extremely privileged and honored to have today with me Teuta Sagiu. She is a CEO of Appoint Group. At the same time, she's ambassador of women in tech in Kosovo. For the last 20 years, she's been a very influential and successful political leader and diplomat with who was promoting human rights and the gender rights at the same time. And I cannot be more than grateful to have her with me today and to speak about the topic of AI and gender equality. Welcome Teuta to Lead Network. Very warm welcome also to you.
Thank you very much, Arta. I am so honored to be today with you and to be able to talk about technology. That is my primary occupation as an engineer, and especially about artificial intelligence. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. And if you would like to share with the audience even broader context of who is Teuta and why artificial intelligence and the technology has been a very important part of your trajectory over the last decades.
Thank you. Thank you, Arta. When someone asks me, who are you? Regardless of what I did during my life, I always said I am engineer. In fact, I am a master engineer in electronics and computer sciences. I am one of first programmers in Kosovo. And back in 1985, I started programming for a factory of 2,500 people the program of salaries, the program of finance, the program of inventory. And quite some years I lived from programming. Later in this technology field, I would like to stress also that I had that privilege to create two of computer centers, very sophisticated, one of most sophisticated in former Yugoslavia at that time, that in 1987, 88, it was connected through modem, through lease lines, through networks with a mainframe. I trained also a lot of people, especially women, because I am a believer in gender equality, to use internet, to use Office, to use HTML and many others. There is still people who stopped me and said, Teuta, the first email you opened for me, or you taught me how to use internet and things. During my life, then I was a business owner of a Motorola company, and all over Kosovo and in region installed, designed the networks of Motorola, programmed for the main institution. Then in 2004, I had a kind of calling that I need to give something to my country. It was a new country, starting from the scratch, and almost 20 years I spent in different positions as member of parliament, as head of Women Cross Party parliamentary caucus, being ambassador of Kosovo in New York, then deputy minister of foreign affairs. And after that time, I decided that it's my time to go back. But going back was not easy. Everything had been changed. The language that I used for programming, young generation even never heard about that. So I needed new trainings, new education. I became a certified digital transformation expert in Vienna, then started different courses in university in Luxembourg. I finished in artificial intelligence, blockchain, returned to programming through Python, and connected two things that I love most. It's fighting for gender equality and technology. And artificial intelligence as new, but in fact, artificial intelligence was mentioned in 1957 in Dartmouth. So it was lack of computational power, of infrastructure that left artificial intelligence not coming to this stage as it is. And ChatGPT, especially after January, in fact, made this notion known to millions and millions, and ignited the discussion, the discourse. So what AI is? Is it dangerous? So we needed to demystify that notion, coming month after month to the situation that we need to discuss how we can use that, how we can regulate that, what are the biases that need to be corrected, and many others. So I think that this industrial revolution brought us to the position that we need really to think, to work, and to make AI to work for us.
Thank you so much, Teuta, for the lovely introduction. Can you hear me now well?
Yes.
Great. I always say that I'm suspicious that you have cloned yourself multiple times to be able to be so so successful in contributing to so many fields. And I'm really excited today to talk about the topic of AI and gender. Stephanie, we can move on the agenda slide. So how we will do this conversation today, it will be a combination of insights and the questions. Usually what we see with AI webinars, We really don't have time to ask questions and to respond to them. So this time will be actually a little bit reverse. We will prompt you with some of the statistics, the data, and then we are going to have the conversation between each other and also with the audience regarding the AI and the role of the role it will have both for men and women. So very briefly, we will start with very fundamentals of AI. As people are prone to be risk averse and like more negative news than positive, unfortunately, these are the statistics. We are actually going to start with the dark side first so that we can transform it into our power and talk about the bright side of AI and what we can do today, regardless if we have a tech background or we work in D&I or we work in HR. What we can do today to play a very important role in shaping the future of AI. We can go to the next slide. So, Teuta, I know that you have a tech background, but we have an audience from corporate world, traditional industry in retail and consumer goods, which means that not many participants in this call are familiar with the technology itself. So how would you explaining what is AI in very short and simple terms for even children to understand, and how would you compare it with our human intelligence?
Yeah, thank you. I will try not to enter to differentiation, to partial differentiation, and to high mathematics, but to explain it to understand that easy. Artificial intelligence, in fact, there is no intelligence there. Artificial intelligence is, in fact, mathematics. And whenever I start to explain about artificial intelligence, I use this example. Artificial intelligence stands on top of two pillars. One pillar is big data. It's all the information that you can scrap, that you can get through the internet or through the data sets that we provide. The other pillar is machine learning. There are many layers, but I will keep it only simple. Machine learning is, in fact, algorithm. It is a program designed in that way that learn from that big data and gives output as a prediction. I won't enter this TensorFlow and the way and neural networks. It is for different audience. But that machine take that big data, manipulate that, enter the linear data, and through the neural networks, it gives the output data that is non-linear. So what happened in this neural network is in fact learning. So if it is supervised learning, we give 80% of data to that algorithm to learn, to give that backtrack algorithm to correct itself and to bring the data and to use 20% remaining to see if it was correct or not, if the machine, the program learned as it is or it made mistakes. After all, machine learning gives predictions. For example, if we gave 100 photos of a cat to machine to learn black, white, looking forward, looking backward, different positions, and that program learned to identify cat. So it should be able, when we give another photo of 101, to be able to say, okay, this picture is 92% cat. So this big data and machine learning, the predictions that gives, goes to artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence takes decisions. So simply said, without mathematics, without entering to technicality, it's data, it's algorithm that learns, and it's artificial intelligence that make decision. So it seems very easy and boring and nothing at all. But artificial intelligence has amazing power. With this computational power, predictions can be very valuable. For example, artificial intelligence can recognize patterns that human eyes cannot recognize. Now it is giving amazing results with these convolutional neural networks in prediction of cancer, of breast cancer and other, because it can detect the patterns that usual human eye cannot do. It has data analysis that humans would need 100 years to identify. And artificial intelligence with this computational power can make the data analysis and give us predictions, give us results that we can use for our benefit. What is not artificial intelligence? Artificial intelligence is not creative. Humans have that possibility to create, to have emotional understanding, to have emotional intelligence, to be able to solve complex problems, to have consciousness, to have self-awareness. So artificial intelligence up to now is mimicking or is trying to replicate the cortex of the brain, where these computational things that resides. But it is just a core, and the under that core, the other part is where human intelligence is the best. So very shortly, AI is a program, is a software, very complicated, with huge data, with machines that can learn and give the decisions.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Deuta. And I would like to add, it is sort of a first technology in the world that mimics humans, as you said. It's a sponge. So if anything from the context of AI for audience to remember, it is the only technology that can behave like humans. It can see, it can hear us, it can complete the task exactly the same as humans, just a little bit more effective. And actually, it is a sort of the technology that we cannot control or manipulate till the certain degree. So moving on the next two slides, Stephanie, so we can skip the one next and then go to the dark side of AI. Stephanie? Yeah. So we will go to the next slide. So why is it important to emphasize that AI is like a sponge? So for a very simple reason, if the technology is learning from humans and mimicking humans, that means that obviously the output is going to be the same. And why is this worrying? A couple of statistics to point out, Teuta, and then to discuss it with you. It is essentially because 80% of women's job are currently at the risk of generative AI versus 60% of men job, even though they are overrepresented in the workplace. This does not only pose an ethical and moral issue, but also it is really negatively impacting countries. So deducting trillions of dollars year by year because of the digital exclusion of women. Can we go on the next slide, please? And when they analyzed at least 130 AI systems and tools that are worldwide known, they've identified that almost half, so already 45%, demonstrate bias, especially when it comes to gender, starting with the big platforms such as LinkedIn and Facebook and many others. We can go to the next slide. So one of the systems that I would actually love to talk to you about, Teuta, is Stable Diffusion, which actually turns the text into image. So if we ask Stable Diffusion to generate a picture of high-paying person in a high-paying job, when they did the experiments and studies, the most of the occupation in high-paid jobs were overpopulated with men. So 80 to 90% of men were placed in high-paying job versus the jobs that are low-paid and lower class, perceived, of course, which I disagree with, have been dominated with women. And not only that, we can move on the next slide. Not only that, but the discrimination further pertains into the color. So it's not only men and women. It is also cultures we are coming from. And we see that the output is heavily skewed to white men dominant in these roles. And the last bit of statistic, which I would like to point out, and on each slide, we have the data exactly from the source, and it will be linked to you after the call. Next slide, Stephanie. There is a huge gap between what leaders are saying they are caring about versus what they are actually doing. So the upper line is representing the number of, so half of the companies are actually saying, we do care about systems being equally representative towards women and different cultures and so forth. However, when they measure the actual, if they walk the talk, they don't. So it's almost one third or one fourth of the achievement. And one of the reasons that women in AI for AI have discovered is because to only 20% of women contribute to the AI agenda, which means that they don't have any input from the from women in general, let alone there is no input from diversity, equity, and inclusion. So to summarize this part, and now to open it up for the questions to you, Teuta, and to the rest of the audience, we can go to the next slide. Stephanie, so Teuta, how we can break down these biases ingrained into the data, into the design, and into the deployment? How is it possible that actually AI is perpetuating existing gender biases? And what are the implications for us if we actually don't take any action, regardless if we are in a tech department or any other department right now?
Yeah, you are very right. AI is such a powerful tool. But that powerful tool lays on top of the data. And as you rightly said, data are man data. In complete internet, as you had also backed up by numbers, you can see that maybe 80, 90% of data are man data. It is data that feed the machine. And machine cannot produce a different thing from the data comes. In AI, it is used also garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you feed, you will have. I'm not saying for this, but if a HR program that is fed by this data ask for CEO. At the beginning, if there are big numbers, so human are not interfering at the first layer. So it is machine who eliminate the biggest number. If there are 1,000 applicants, then it will eliminate and bring to 10. And if it is about CEO, it will eliminate women and bring 9 man candidates and 1 woman, because that's the data it was fed by. If it is about health, the all health data are almost 100% are based on man body of 80 kilogram or 180 and more. Even car designs, even anesthesia, even pacemakers and other are based on that data. And I would also suggest to read Invisible Women, Data Biases in World Design for Men by Caroline Criado Perez. That gives enormous examples that women suffer, even die in because the health data are data for men. For example, with pacemakers, there are enormous more women who are dying from pacemaker because the threshold of triggering the pacemaker was based on man's body, of man kilogram and height and blood function and heart function. So it is not only to talk because it's cool about artificial intelligence. With that power And with that decision making, humans will be displaced. So imagine a process when oxygen feeding or design of pacemaker in the body or design in the car where human are not there and artificial intelligence make decision. Women will be those who will suffer most. Women and other minorities who are not in that box, white male men. That's why we need to be aware of this and to work to regulate that, to regulate these biases. How can we do that? I think that in complete chain, from the design of the project, from the inception of the idea, from the programming, from the debugging, from the product, from the using, we need to have diversity in all teams. There are so many cases that when women was brought in that team, they found the solution for the problem because it was invisible for men since they didn't cope with that kind of problems. In this case, we need to work in several paths. One path is to work with programmers, with software developers, with companies to make them aware about these biases. We need to work with institutions to regulate. We still don't have a proper regulation, although European Union and America and US and China are working in regulation, but it is not still a kind of regulation that will regulate this field. And we need also to train women in using the AI tools, starting from ChatGPT, that is most known, but also Stable Diffusion, DALL-E, Midjourney, Synthesis, and many others, to be able to include in their existing jobs and not to become jobless and to be prepared for the next phase when new jobs will appear. If we are talking about dark side, we need also to be aware that, yes, of course, job displacement will be huge. And every time when people ask me, will there be jobless people? I said, yeah, only those who will not know to use AI tools, they will remain jobless. We need to correct these algorithm biases. We need to know about risks that AI brings. It can be surveillance through the data that we are voluntarily giving every time. Do you agree? Yes. Do you accept all? Yes. So we are voluntarily giving that. We need to be aware of deepfake. Deepfake is almost impossible to detect now when you use a figure of a politician, of a person, of it don't need to be a VIP, but to give the text to the program and even to change the dialect and with several seconds of a speech of one person, you can copy the pattern and then write whatever you want and the avatar will speak whatever. So deepfake can be very dangerous in election time, in every time. Then ethical consideration, lack of transparency. At the beginning, when ChatGPT became popular, it is a case when Samsung engineers were using ChatGPT. But ChatGPT not only gave answer, it learned from them. So there were competition who asked the questions, and ChatGPT had already the answers of engineers who were not for public. They were hidden. They were still in a phase of development. So there are a lot of parts of dark side that we need to be aware, to be able to correct them, to be able to protect ourselves from those, and to be able to use that in our benefit.
That's a very detailed and extensive overview on the dark side of the Teuta. And actually, we have Josh from the chat saying that actions speak louder than words, and these statistics are very eye-opening. So he's interested to know if AI can itself assist to remove the bias that are ingrained in the data design and the deployment.
AI is a software, and we need to teach that software how to be aware. And to teach the software, we need ourselves to be aware of these biases. It cannot work on their own because they don't have that creativity. The software don't have the creativity, the emotional intelligence and emotional understanding that human have. That's why we need to work with people, with software developer, with managers, with institutions, and raise awareness. If we raise awareness, then control those software developers who are putting the lines of code to be able to recognize, to include women in these teams so that produce software, then we are able to use the high computational power of neural networks to, at least if not completely remove biases, at least to diminish the amount of biases and to make AI for all.
Absolutely. It's again, it learns from us. So whatever we serve him, for example, they are now testing AI on dark web. So you can imagine what kind of AI that will be in terms of the power of using it for bad, not for good. But I see also one more question in the chat from Adriana saying, what would be the highlights of the regulation in the EU versus American? Is American regulation stronger or not? In very brief terms, as we only have 25 more minutes to actually go through the bright side and to reverse this conversation onto something practical and actionable for everyone on the call to take away today.
Yeah, since these regulations are still ongoing and they are not finished, we don't have that kind of information. But since the regulations are ongoing, they are also concerned that if the regulations are very strict, then how can AI learn and what will be the benefits of AI? At the beginning, the ChatGPT 3.4 was giving a lot more information taking from the internet, but then it raised these authors whether they are eligible to use this information or not. And now you can have less accurate information in ChatGPT and in other than before because of these super regulations. So politicians and people need to decide. As a human, you can read everything and said, yes, I read this in this book and to be used. So why shouldn't AI use that? It will be for greater good, so everybody to know that. But in this case, we need to work with politician. As a former politician, I know that but that category of people to raise the awareness, to demand regulation, but not that regulation to go beyond the public interest of humans.
Absolutely, and not only politicians, but also corporations are some corporations
Yeah.
are big countries. And in terms of size, in terms of political power, financial power, and so forth. So the top would also decide. I've spoken to many people at the LEAD conference this year that actually complain that they are either restricted or they absolutely have no regulation whatsoever about AI. So, Stephanie, we can move to the next slide. I would like to conclude with the dark side that actually There are so many negative implications, but at the end of the day, AI is just the mirror of who we are as people, as humanity, as society. And I'm glad that it came up, because now we cannot close our eyes and say this is a gender issue or cultural issue or socioeconomic issue. These biases go much deeper than just gender. I wouldn't like, even though the topic is gender, I would really like to say that that gets exacerbated as we go deep dive into the cultures and socioeconomic possibilities of people. Next slide, Stephanie. And the other slide, we can move to the bright side of AI. One more slide, please. So if you notice the if we notice the difference versus this chart versus the other chart, at the top of the chart was the artificial intelligence, and then were the symptoms, and then the human intelligence was at the bottom. Why? Because we have the tendency of going into this blame game. When something is good, then we take the ownership, but when something is bad, when we blame tools, systems, and the processes. So on the bright side of the AI, Tehuta, I would really love to talk to you now about how AI can be used to address the inequality, and what companies can actually do, regardless of their field of expertise, within their teams, within their domain of influence, to actually make sure that the data inclusion is there, design and the deployment is actually going in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy that we moved to the bright side, because bright side is much stronger and much powerful, and it leads us to future, to use AI as it should be. AI is like fire when it was discovered. So it changed the humanity, and AI will change our life, whether it is work or life or health or leisure or everything. We have amazing tools that are today, and they are developing further. Just to be sure to use that, to regulate that, and to be able to scale up our skill set to be able to use. As a Women in Tech ambassador, we are part of a Women in Tech global movement, and we are working heavily to include women and to close the gender digital gap. Just to mention a couple of projects that we are doing, is we just finished in 5 municipalities working with girls in cybersecurity, in data privacy, and fighting this cyberbullying and cyber violence. Now in January, we are continuing with artificial intelligence tools for women 18 to 30 to enable them to use these beautiful, powerful tools to include them in their everyday work, to increase their ability to concentrate in growing business, in creativity, in critical thinking, rather than losing time in repetitive work, so that today artificial intelligence do it like immediately. So I believe that we as a society, and corporations especially, need to work with their staff first to train them, to scale up their abilities to use artificial intelligence. Because if they don't do that, then others will grow and will take their jobs, as some of search engines ask Jeeves, or some of first search engines are nowhere now, because Google took that advantage and now it's everywhere. It is the same situation. It's a situation that corporations need really strategically to plan in enhancing skill sets of their workers, in a regulation inside their companies, to see what kind of tools they need to start to use to prepare the policies to be able to see further than today, because the future is AI is here to stay. And if you don't go hand in hand with AI, then there will new kids in the town who will take that that kind of job and continue with this powerful tool that you cannot compete. So, and another thing that I will suggest, especially to big corporations, since they have a enormous power in comparison to SMEs and to other, is to work closely with institutions. They can influence institutions to include AI, to regulate AI, and massively to educate people, whether they're employees or others, to be able to use artificial intelligence tools.
That is definitely much nicer to hear now, going from the dark side into the bright side, Teuta. What I see with people, unfortunately, across different organizations is fear paralyzes them. And they go into the what-if scenarios until really they exhaust all the options, realizing that there is no end. So
What if not?
Exactly.
It's
so
more dangerous.
So we have one question in the group, which is low-hanging fruits. So the reason why corporates ask about this is because there is lots of structural complexity within them. So yeah. I always compare them to governments, but just making money. So there's the difference. So if I am a head of marketing or head of HR, or any other, also we can, I encourage people in the chat to actually post questions and to refer to their functions so we can give more quality examples and to talk to you. What would be literally one activity, one small activity they can implement today when it comes to AI and equality, especially when it comes to women and gender equality?
Yeah. Thank you. Prior to that, I will link what you said previously about the fear, about the big changes that are in front of us. Are we able to cope with these changes? From January, I started in Luxembourg University many of courses, and the first response, not only in that university, but everywhere, was, you cannot use ChatGPT, it is prohibited, you don't do that, you will be excluded. And you can see the fear from something that is there. And we saw, as a students heavily used ChatGPT, and everybody had 18, 19 score and up. So what was the result? The result was amazing, that now professors changed their way of teaching and their way of quizzes and work that they gave to us. It was not anymore easy to find from ChatGPT the answers. So they became more creative. They became more intuitive. They became more critically thinking. And now they are giving the tasks that ChatGPT don't know. And I think that for these several months of existence of ChatGPT, in fact, changed the way how universities work. They are not concerned anymore about ChatGPT and what can we use. Even they say, use it. But completely turned that to creativity, to innovation, to critical thinking, to complex problem solving than easy things that they had for 10 years, the same question and the same answer you can find everywhere. The same is also with corporation and with government. You must consider the way how you work today. You must include creativity, innovation, critical thinking, complex problem solving, and change the way you work to toward the use of AI, not as a threat, but using of AI to make your job easier, to make your work easier, to make your results more accessible and quicker. And I cannot imagine if we don't do anything, what will happen. I think that's even a worse scenario if you just wait and stay afraid.
Yes, less fair politics, just to see what others will do and then wait for the miracle to happen. Thank you so much, Deuta. And Stephanie, we can perhaps speed up to the next two slides where we have a chart recommendation. If I summarize actually what we have talked about, the bright side and how to actually move ahead today and to take even the smallest step, I think we can summarize it into three steps. Number one is the initiation. Taking responsibility and saying, even though I'm not in tech department, IT department, myself as a VP of D&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion, or VP of marketing, VP of supply chain, I want to initiate the conversation of how AI is leveraged in my department and in cross departments. What are the pros and cons? Is diversity, equity, inclusion included there? Is the gender representation there? I emphasize also marketing because consumer goods and retail is extremely marketing and branding oriented. And we need to watch out on the systems that are actually producing the branding of our products and services, and more than anything, targeting. If you talk about personalized marketing, content marketing, there is a possibility that AI tools can actually target under a served market, which is a great use case, much faster than the others. But there is also a probability that it can use to influence, of course, on the negative side. So number one is initiation and taking responsibility from which department you are. Number two is integration. So when it comes to integration, what I see with many companies, they either overcomplicate where they want to use it or they just go in the execution mode. Integration would be the most useful to focus on the challenges. What is the challenge number one? As Deuta mentioned, if the challenge is empowering women with monetization skills and branding skills and actually empowering them to return to work, or empowering plant workers to actually start digitalizing in their services because their manufacturing is going to completely be automated in the sooner period, how we can integrate the smallest tool in the least disruptive way. And number three is the implementation phase, which I think everyone disregards, where people implement the tools, but they don't monitor what they're achieving with them and what are the consequences of it. I've seen it in many instances where products and services would be launched, and as people changed in companies, no one takes the responsibility of the post-launch reviews and performance data, which is very dangerous for AI because AI is actually learning from what is being fed to. So I would I call this triangle as a DE and AI phase, not just the DEI. It would summarize the complete approach of taking into consideration how to go ahead with AI.
Yeah.
Deuta, did you want to say something? As I see that you were nodding.
Yeah, you are very right. And what we need to do to start is really to deep dive and to listen, to analyze, to remove the fear. I'm returning to the time when I started programming for the first time in a factory. They were doing it by hand, and there were a lot of resistance. No, we don't need this machine. We can do, people will remain jobless. I don't trust this box and things like that. And I think we are in the same phase. That first it's just the denial and fear and disruption that make us uncomfortable. But I remember when I told them that the balance sheet that they were working 1 week to make it, that can be done only by one click, then it started to, they started to be open. Can you imagine now any serious company working without computer? You cannot. So we are at the same phase. We need just to be aware what that is. How can we benefit from that, from AI? Where can we include that? And to see that as a big picture, to initiate the debate inside and as soon as possible to include AI in all parts of the chain of the activity.
Brilliant. And Teuta, I would like to take one more last question as time is always short when we talk about AI, but we have the question in the chat from Vincent asking, is there a potential discrimination with AI usage when it comes to data, especially because majority of the data is in English and other data, other languages have less qualitative AI data available? And what's your input on that?
Yeah, you are very right. In the university classes that we also had, it was feeding machine with data sets. So English data sets are widely available. And if you enter in Albanian, that we were trying to learn machine, to teach machine with Albanian data sets, it's much less represented in this big data ecosystem. What we need is to work to have more programmers, to have more people who knows to use tools, and to include that. Otherwise, I don't see how can we do that. So not everyone need to be programmer. Not everyone need to be the decision maker, but we need to work with software developers that make this, that includes these data sets, so that work in several languages, especially with the language processing programs, and to teach tools to each and everyone.
Absolutely. And actually, we as an English-speaking nation, we have privilege to identify the tools that can translate this into more than 120 languages in milliseconds, literally milliseconds, and we can democratize. So instead of seeing it as a problem, we see it as an opportunity. Especially India is a very particular case because obviously they have completely, they 1 billion people and so many subcultures and the differences within one country. So I think it is an unbelievable opportunity to actually bring that all together and unify it and share the knowledge, because before we were not able to access the information and with a fingertip. Now we are. And there is no excuse that one person anymore does not have the same information that I have at MIT versus someone that has in Sri Lanka or in Bangladesh or somewhere else. So I extremely enjoyed this conversation with you, Teuta. As we have to wrap up, I would like to ask Stephanie just to move on to the next few slides very quickly. You can connect with us on LinkedIn. I really encourage you to get in touch and to have a conversation with us with all the questions that we did not have a chance to address. Next slide. Stephanie is going to pop out the survey right now, and we would extremely be grateful if you just click a few seconds and vote. And next slide. So in the meantime, we encourage you to join the next event, which will be on a personal branding with great speakers from Cargill and diverse and even government background. And the last bit that I have to announce to the group is please, if you are part of Lead Network, Have a look at the Impact 35 program that has been circulating around, as you can see on LinkedIn. It is an innovative program which will definitely include the next generation youth into decision making. And I encourage you to go ahead and scan on LinkedIn or here to know and to learn a little bit more about it. All of the resources that have been used today will be shared with you and over the next week. And we are very grateful. We are very grateful that you have joined with us today. And we encourage you to keep in touch, to share the knowledge, and to not be afraid, because we don't want to leave this message with division, but with inclusion. Teuta, I really appreciate your making the time for us today. Absolutely pleasure. And thank you everyone for joining once again.
Thank you. I enjoy it really. Thanks a lot.
Likewise. Thank you so much. And I see lots of great comments in the chat as well. And yes, please come back with the Lead Network to bring insights, especially from different organizations, women in tech and the rest of them. Great. Thank you, everyone.